I am Rene Anu, and you must to listen like me, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us a special Weekend Edition Podcast. This is podcast number 359, July 5th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we love our Marin Karting and, of course, the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. Nasser, welcome to the studio. Of course, we're working the weekend because this is a special interview with one of my favorites, Jean-Pierre Beltoise.
Yes, sir. Good to be here on Saturday. And this conversation is, like you said, with Jean-Pierre Beltoise, a true legend of French motorsports. Beltoise was born in Paris in 1937. He was very successful as a motorcycle racer and won 11 national titles before moving to racing on four wheels. He was involved in a serious accident at Reims in a sports car race in 1964. The following year, his victory at the same track in a Formula 3 race saved the Matra racing program. He drove for Matra in Formula 1 in 1968 and was second in the Dutch Grand Prix. In 1969, he drove for Ken Tyrrell's Matra International team and was second in his home Grand Prix at the beautiful and challenging Clermont-Ferrand track, which, by the way, is the hometown of Patrick Depailler, and it was Jean-Pierre Beltoise who discovered Patrick Depailler and helped him earlier in his racing career, and he talks about this in this conversation. Shining moment of Jean-Pierre Beltoise's F1 career came in the rain at Monaco in 1972, where he scored the last ever Grand Prix win for BRM, a famous British team from days gone by. Beltoise is married to Jacqueline, sister of François Civet, and this conversation took place at his karting track in Trappes, near Paris. I also had the chance to meet one of his sons, Julien. My thanks to both of them for their time, and a very special thank you to Mr. Mauro Bianchi and my friend Mr. Olivier Menou for making this interview possible. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm here in Trappes with Jean-Pierre Beltoise, legend of French motor racing. Mr. Beltoise, first of all, a great pleasure to meet you. How are you today?
As a lot of body, I'm going more and more in the age, and that I don't like very much. But I'm well. I am well. I have two sons. You have met one, Julien. The other one is more racing, Anthony. Well, I am in not bad condition, so it's okay.
Good. Now, before we talk about your great career, and I really enjoyed your racing career, let's talk a little bit about the French Grand Prix and what's going on. How involved are you in promoting the French Grand Prix?
If we had more time, now we have not had that time. I have two or three phone calls to give now, but I'm going to give one immediately. Because, no, my phone is a little bit broken. Not broken, but I have something I have not with me. No. So, to answer to this question, I think really in 1 or 2 months, the French government is going to say our project, I mean François Poupigny, Jean-Pierre Beltoise, north of Paris, is going to be the right project to organize the Grand Prix in 2012. And before, if we won the French Grand Prix, we could come back in Manicourt or in Circuit Ricard or Castellet. That's that. I cannot say more,
I think, I hope, 95% of chance, like that. Where is your project? Is this going to be a street race, or you're going to build a new track?
No, we're going to build a new track, because in Paris, it's not possible to do a street race, because we have a lot of regulations. You know, France is very, is not easy like some countries to organize, even made like states. I think states is more easy than in France. That is the reason. But the second reason is we need near Paris a very big racing track, safety track, a track to work about the mobility in the new system of ecology, of fuel consumption very low, etc. So, as our track is going to be built near Roissy, which is a very big airport international, Le Bourget, which is a business airport, and Chantilly, which is a very nice place where there are horse races, with a lot, you know Chantilly, perhaps, no? With hotels and very hotel top gamme hotel. So I think the best solution was to build this system of track.
I hope your project succeeds, and I'm going to call you for a free ticket.
Okay, all right. You come back. When you come back, I give you a free ticket.
Thank okay, you. Thank you very much.
But before, we must ask to Bernie Ecclestone, you know?
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, Bernie has to say yes or no on everything. Okay, now we're going to talk about your career. Your racing career started on two wheels, and like John Surtees, you were very successful. What do you remember most from your racing days, motorcycle racing days?
I have a lot of souvenirs of my racing days in motorcycle, but no bike, because it was the beginning of the system. And also, because I have a very good success, and I did motorbike because karting was not existing at this time, before 60s. And I have no regret, because I had a very nice moment. I was a lot of time French champion. And when I decided to go to car, because I did motorbike to go to racing cars. Perhaps I should have continued in motorbikes 2, 3, 4 years, because it was the beginning of a Japanese organization, mm-hmm. with Suzuki, Honda was coming, and it was the beginning of a very strong motorbike system, organization, with a lot of advertising. But it's like that. But I have very good souvenirs, very, very good souvenirs.
Now, you have raced both two wheels and four wheels. What, as a competitor, what requires more skills, racing on bikes or racing on cars?
Exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is you have something to drive, mm-hmm. 2, 1, 3, 4 wheels with a good grip, not good grip, anything. It's always to be at the limit, to try to be at the limit, not to overtake this limit, and with this limit to have the shorter time to go to one point to another point. So it's the same scale.
Now, here comes my favorite part of your career, racing on four wheels. You had a very bad accident at Reims, you folks call it Reims, when you joined Matra, and Mr. Jean-Luc Lagardère put you in charge of answering the phones. Please tell me about the early days, and how was it working for Mr. Lagardère?
Well, when I see Jean-Luc Lagardère the first time, I was with a lot of
crutches
and with plaster, and he said, no, it's not possible. And he said to me after, 1 or 2 years after, when I say that, I look at you, and I saw so much determination in your eyes that I said, no, I can't do that. We try. Okay. You know, now, just to show to you, that is... it was not a problem. It was just a problem. I suffered a lot in the hospital for 1 year. And perhaps a little less of ability I had at the steering wheel, but this forced me to do a good car, you know, not to have control very difficult in a in a fast Benz. Mm-hmm. And well, it's no problem.
How was he working for him? Was he a very demanding guy, or was he very nice to work with?
Pardon?
Jean-Luc Lagardère, was he a tough boss or a good boss? How do you remember him?
A fantastic boss. Yeah. Really, a fantastic boss. You know, at the beginning of my career with Matra, I have been approached by Ferrari, mm-hmm. by Ludovico Scafiotti, mm-hmm. Who was from the part of Enzo Ferrari to come there. And I said, no, I don't want. My family is Matra, Blue, Jean-Luc Lagardère, anybody. It was a fantastic boss, very clear, always very clear, very honest, and really, I have no regret. A lot of good souvenirs with Matra.
Now, his son is heavily involved in sports entertainment. Is he involved with you in this Formula One project that you are putting together?
Pardon? I don't know.
His son, is he involved in the Formula One project?
His son. No, his son, he don't like very much. Yes, his son Arnaud. In fact, he's not regarding about. Jean-Luc was passionate by sports on the kart sports. Mm-hmm. Also, he took the managing of Matra, given by Marcel Chassagny and Sylvain Foira, which are the presidents, co-presidents. And he saw the good opportunity for Matra to have a very good advertising by doing sports racing and try to win. Now we will see the cars in the world. It's not the same profile, it's not the same conditions. And Arnaud, from enough of the time, I not discuss with him. I know he do anything. But again, not newspapers, but in the Hachette and many things. And he don't want to touch about sports cars. But he's very interesting by communication, advertising, organization. And as he could organize something in tennis, for instance, he could organize something with the Grand Prix de France.
Okay. Now, Reims was also the scene of first Matra victory only 1 year after your accident. You know, your first victory in 1965 at Reims with Matra, first victory for them. How important was the victory for you as a driver in the Matra program?
Very, very important. Because for me and for Matra. Or for Matra and for me. For Matra, because we did two or three races before with no... We have not succeeded to come in the first lines and the car stopped. Little problem because the car was very new. And by winning at Reims, it changed completely what not only the France, but the president of Matra, Sylvain Farah, was thinking about racing. And when we have won, it was so big, so important that it was the real beginning of Matra. We should have won more or less after, but Reims is like Monaco in France. It was the right place to win. It was a real fantastic and very quick speedway. And it was very important. And for me, it was very, very important because a lot of people consider me like something without too much hurt to could succeed in motor racing. And I succeed there to win Reims. It was a very big chances. I had a lot of chances. You know, I did a spin and because somebody hurt me at the first corner. It was really a good chances to win. But by this winning the race, everybody could say, no, Beltoise is right to race. And it was a comfort for Jean-Luc Lagardère, which has taken a lot of risk to say Beltoise is going to be one of our drivers.
Now, motor racing in your days was very dangerous, and when you started in motorcycles early in your life, what was the reaction of your mom and dad? Were they supportive or they were concerned that it's very dangerous?
Mom and dad?
Yeah.
Dad, you respect my... my decision was I projected in the avenir. But my mother was against. And she changed completely after after my first motorbikes wins. But now I imagine, because when I had this accident 1 year before my win in Reims, in 64, the first announcing for 2 hours in the night, I was killed.
Oh.
You know. So I imagine my parents. I can imagine. It was terrible for them. I think I gave them a lot of pleasure, not pleasure, but joie, a lot of joy.
Joie.
But also a lot of...
Concern.
Yes, souci.
Concern.
Yes. Okay.
Now, you were 1965 French Formula 3 champion. What was the best race and best memories you have from that season?
In what season?
When you became Formula 3 champion of France?
I don't know. Reims, sure, because before there was nothing. But I remember to have did a second place at Rouen, which was a very fast track and difficult track. And also, I win in Cognac. I remember all that. I remember, because all these races was have the good decision to be the first Formula 3 champion. And it was very important, and I remember this. Rouen and Cognac, I remember very much.
And who were the main competitors in the first championship that you won, Formula 3?
Well, Jean-Pierre Jossot, which has won 2 or 3 years before the Volanchel. He has the same age like me. It was a really very difficult competitor for me. I didn't know Pescarolo, which was a good... He came after. International was Trevor Blokdaek, which was a South African, I think. South African, yes. And a lot of English people, like Chris Irwin. A lot of... I don't know the name now. Pierce Courage. I was very friend with Pierce Courage after. No... I can't say, because I have not the souvenir. No, the names, but...
In 1968, you were Formula 2 champion. How was that season, and what do you remember from your Formula 2 championship?
What I remember?
Yeah, best memories or...
Yes. It's a good souvenir, because Formula 2 champion, after to being... I think it's 2 years after being first championship... Sit me in good position for the future for the Formula 1. That was very important. I have a good souvenir. Also, good souvenir with the Formula 2, because all Formula 1 drivers, the best, Jack Brabham, Danny Ulm, Jochen Rindt, Stewart, Peterson, all were doing Formula 1 and Formula 2. And in Formula 2, we had the same engine, the F2 Cosworth, yes. So the challenge and the fight was fantastic always. And also, we had still cars with not slick tires, not aerodynamic system. So with 300 horsepower, the car was sliding a lot. So I had a very good souvenir. I have kept a Formula 2, which is now not far to be ready. And for me, it's the more nice car you've driven in the racing. I forgot something before when my concurrent in Formula 3 was Eric Offenstadt.
Yeah,
And Eric, I must say, Eric was very important for me for my career, because 2 times after my accident and at the beginning of my motorbike career, he helped me a lot. He presented me to Jean-Luc Lagardère after, and he said to Jean-Luc Lagardère, "You must take Jean-Pierre Beltoise." And at the beginning, I have no money, and he said, "I am going to buy an Air Mackie new motorbike, and you must pay, but." Nice price for my 175 Morini. So it's for you. When I came back from the army, I had an accident with K car, not big accident, but a lot of damage, so I have no money to pay the bike. He said, Jean-Pierre, you must take the bike, you pay me when you can. Fantastic. Yeah. And I was, so it's more dangerous concurrent. Yeah. So, from Eric, for me, is a very friend, very, very good friend.
Now, in 1968, when you were in Formula 2, a lot of famous drivers were there, like you mentioned, Formula 1 drivers. Tell me about, please, Jochen Rindt. How did you find him as a person?
Oh, we know Jochen and Nina. Nina was very friend with with Jacqueline, my wife. But also with Jochen. Jochen was he was somebody from the north, but south, in fact. Like you have in Austria, South Austria is like the French Riviera for mentality. And I didn't know him very well, but we did at the Bahamas, invited by Volkswagen, a race with I don't remember the name of car, monoposto, but with a Volkswagen engine, very slow. But we invited us two. And I won the race before Jochen. And after that, he come to me after. I say, Jean-Pierre, I know you now, and if you want, we are going to be very friends. Jochen, it's a great thing for me because I am in admiration for you.
Oh, very good. Okay, very important race. In 1968, you won the Formula 2 race at Hockenheim, and we all know what happened on lap 4. Who told you about that Jim Clark was killed in that race, and what was your reaction and the reaction of racing drivers?
Well, the reaction was incredible because we cannot imagine. And Hockenheim was not a very dangerous track, but what happens to the car? Because at this place, he should have not take off the road. A lot of trees, and there are no guardrail at this time, but we cannot imagine we can be killed at this place. So it was terrific when they said Jimmy is dead. But for me, it was more disaster because I was not married with Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And before this race, we have a sort of dinner together. And he said, oh, Jean-Pierre, I'm sure you go to marry with Jacqueline.
Jim Clark said that?
Yes. So it was terrible because I was a young man coming in that system with Jochen, Jimmy, and Jimmy just dead at this time. So it was very unlucky, very unlucky.
Okay. You were involved in the career of Patrick Depailler, another racing driver I admired very much. Please tell us where you first saw him race and what convinced you of his talents.
I remember very well that. It was in motorbike at Montlhéry. And it was certainly in 64 because I was in a little chair, you see, a rolling chair. Uh-huh. And I went to Montlhéry because I want to look at the drivers and at the races. And I saw a young man, which was called Patrick Depailler, with, I think, a Norton Dominator or something like that. Really, survolving, we can say that, lot in advance, and really with easy style, very efficient braking and cornering. And after the race, I came to him. I said, Patrick, I look at you. You are really a future big champion. If you want, I can give you for some races my Bultaco because I am not. It's not impossible. My Bultaco, my Morini, I don't remember, because it's impossible for me to drive for still 6 months. So it's for you if you want. So we became friends like that.
Okay. Now Patrick Depailler, like you, won his first race in Monaco. Who was more crazy, Patrick Depailler or Johnny Servoz-Gavin?
More crazy.
More crazy, like you know, very outgoing.
Oh yes, it was very different. Very different. Patrick Depailler was a little bit like me, somebody which is a good French boy with a family, with his home, with a family home. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Servoz-Gavin was out of that. It was a real adventure.
Playboy.
playboy, going with that girl, many girls. It was not the same system as us. I love the two. I have loved the two because the two were my good friend. Much more after, by the life, Johnny, which lived for 6 months in my home in Paris.
Oh.
Yes. And they were completely different.
Yeah.
Same talent, but completely different.
So Johnny Servaz-Gavin was a good racer, though.
The good racing?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Good,
yes, very good, very good. But he stopped for... It's impossible for me in English to explain to you why he stopped, but he stopped because he was sure to succeed in anything. Yeah. He wanted to do boat, boat racing, boat around the world, speaking at radio, a lot of things. He was sure to do a lot of things. Yeah. But I can tell you something very, very nice about Johnny before he died some years ago now. So by a friend of us, which was a manager of Auto Plus, we did with Jean-Luc Lagardère a last family organization at L'Étoile à Paris, in the Matra seat. Not seat, but Matra... Main office. Everybody which have raced on approach the race, engineers, and and we have something like 50 persons in the office of Jean-Luc. And Jean-Luc say, "Oh, I'm very happy, so happy." He was really with a lot of business. So he passed with us 4 hours, and he said, "Okay, now we are going. What are you doing? To everybody? And now you, what are you doing? And everybody say, "I'm doing that. I'm planning to do that." And your journey, what are you doing? "Ah, Mr. Lagardère, now I am, retreated? Out of work? I do nothing. Like somebody which work all life, and after he say, okay.
Retired.
Wait, I am retired." That's very funny.
And how old was he then?
How old
Johnny?
Was 50 or 55?
Yeah. He was a funny guy. Okay, you know, I was telling your son, I started following motor racing in 1973, January. I was a huge, huge fan of your brother-in-law, François Sever.
Yes.
Tell me where you met him first. Do you remember that?
Pardon?
Do you remember meeting... Where did you meet François Sever first?
Oh, yes, yes. I met him at Neuilly, near Paris, where I live, in the shop... which was selling motorbikes, especially the Morini, importer for Morini. And in fact, I saw François, but I saw much more his sister, Jacqueline, which I am married now. And that is the first place where I saw him.
Who did you meet first, François or Jacqueline?
The two together, because Jacqueline was always with François.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the shop.
Yeah. Oh.
And Jacqueline told me now, François tell him, "Oh, it's Jean-Pierre Beltoise," because I was winning some races already, so he was in admiration for me. And Jacqueline looked at me and said, "Well, he's not there, he's too thin." Thin or sick?
Sick, yeah.
Too sick?
When we are very... Yeah, too tight.
Yeah, too tight.
Yeah.
He's too tight. And, but we were, in fact, looking after motorbikes. And after, François... impressed me a lot by the Volanchel, where I was sure Patrick Depailler is going to win because he was very good, and also François had not do a lot of racing, car racing, and less motorbike racing. And François win before Patrick.
Yeah.
He was 10 kilos more, and also he was not experienced, and he win. So fantastic. Fantastic victory for François, this Volant Elf. And that was the starting of his fantastic career and fantastic man.
Yeah. You know, when he was killed at Watkins Glen in 1973, you raced on Sunday.
Yes.
How difficult was it for you to race after losing your brother-in-law and fellow driver? Or did you race because the team forced you to race?
No, when you are a racing driver, you can imagine... During the night, before the race, perhaps you could be killed the day after. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that, but that is not in your head. You know, mm-hmm. after you are very concentrated to do the best possible to have the good determination to do a good car. Yeah. A lot of things. Mm-hmm. So you don't think about that really. I lost my first wife before. It was the same. In the race, or before the race. After, it's terrible. But during the race, you have a lot of concentration to do the good tuning of the car, a lot of things like that. But I remember where the Boeing, because I immediately wanted to go there to see if there's a possibility to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Jody Scheckter mm-hmm. who stopped me, and he said, no, don't go there. Don't go there. You must not go, because it was terrible. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I have a video of at home. It's the story of Matra called Racing in Blue. Okay, it's in French, and you are being interviewed, and you are saying this is very, very impressive, inspirational. You are saying that when Ken Tyrrell called you to drive his Formula One car, you could not believe that I was a meat delivery driver and I would be driving a Grand Prix car. Do you remember that phone call? Can you tell us a little bit about those days at Tyrrell?
No, I don't remember. I remember a lot of things with Ken Tyrrell. But I remember some important meeting with Ken Tyrrell. Mainly when he gave me on the same car Jackie Hicks and me. Jackie is more faster and faster, but immediately after I do the same time. So I remember that, but very strong. And Tyrrell, a very clever man, after 2 hours... testing. He said, "No, we stop today, finish," mm-hmm. because he was thinking perhaps one of the two could have it would be too fast. It was at Woolton Park, which was a very dangerous track too.
Yeah. Now, short on time, Monaco 1972, was that the biggest day of your motor racing life, and how was it winning the Monaco Grand Prix as your first win?
It was very fantastic because, in fact, I was very lucky in my racing motorbike career. Not hurt on the aside my accident in 64 with René Bonnet, my career with Matra was very fantastic from 65 to 68, I think, or 9. And after, I had a lot of problems with broken engines, not success. So after 2 or 3 years with lot of difficulty to confirm I could be a world champion, I could be one of the champions, the Monaco victory was delivery for me. Delivery? No, not delivery, deliverance.
Yeah.
You understand? And change also the mind of everybody which was looking at the race, because when you have a good success, everybody say, "Oh, he's very good," like James Button this year. And before, say, "Well, he's certainly finished." You know, so it was the same thing for me. So it was very fantastic for me. But I was so unlucky at this period. I can tell you really, at 400 meters. No, 500 meters. So after the gasomet, when I put second, third, I say I'm going to break the engine. Sure, the engine is going to break or something, or broken transmission. And when I was at 250 meters, I said, even if something broke now, I could pass the finish line and win the race. Because I was so unlucky, you know. Yeah. From the, so for me, it's this souvenir. Really, it's exactly like that. It is. It was exactly like that. So it was a deliverance. I don't know the name in.
That's the right word.
Deliverance compared to the unlucky period from 2 or 3 years.
Okay. My 30 minutes are up. Finally, how about a message for listeners of people who listen to a podcast? And we have listeners all over the world, including in France. So would you like to say a message, please?
Ah, yes. A message to racing fans. I was so lucky to get involved in racing, because I was dreaming about that when I was 30, 40 years or 15 years. And I succeed in my dreams. So that I want to say to fan.
Okay.
I had a dream life by the opportunity. Also, the thing I wanted absolutely to do that. I know I have a lot of fans because I receive a lot of.
I'm one of them.
Okay. And I thank them very much for this. Without of limit support.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And I really sorry for my English is very poor.
I understand everything you're saying. No problem there.
When I discuss with Bernie, it's very difficult for me, you know. With Eccleston.
Bernie is difficult for everybody. Thank you so much.
Monsieur Beltoise, merci beaucoup. F1 hebdomadaire vous souhaite bonne chance avec le retour et puis la promotion du Grand Prix de la France. Merci.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.